Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze. It's good to be with you tonight. As I come, I want to share a couple of things with you. First of all, I just want to say that the mission of the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry is to share biblical truths that encourage and equip the saints of God. And we hope also that it would reach the unsaved in a special way. As you know, earlier this year, we came to you with a special need. We thank all of you who have responded to our recent appeal, but we just want to let you know that we still have a shortfall regarding our financial obligation. As 2016 draws to a close, we pray that you would help us in one of the following ways. First of all, everyone can pray. You can pray for the financial needs that we have at this present time. Also, you can make a one-time tax-deductible gift to support our radio ministry. And as we always say, no amount is too small. And then I would like to encourage you, if you're able and God leads, to become a regular donor by contributing a monthly gift. Those who commit to a regular monthly gift, a donation of at least $25 a month, you will receive a copy of my book, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. And this book deals with spiritual warfare and how you can engage successfully, victoriously in spiritual warfare. Let me assure you, radio friends, that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. For the ways to donate, you can go to www.anchoredinjesus.org and hit the Donate Now button, or you can call 877-531-5060. Let me thank you in advance for any help that you can give us. We are trusting the Lord for his provision, and we are asking you to seek the Lord as to how you can participate. Thank you for all that you've done. To God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, The Lord Loves Us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Lord Loves Us.
It's incomprehensible. It's incredible. The fact that he loves sinners. I remember when we were across the street, there was a guy who came in one Sunday morning for service. He was sloppy drunk. And he sat back in the back pew. It was on the right side, about the third row back. And he went to the bathroom on himself and left a big stain of urine on the pew. And y'all remember over there, we had those padded pews. And the trustees had to come afterwards and scrub it out and, you know, spray, get the smell out. And I was just thinking that those are the individuals that God loves. Those are the people that Christ died for. And if we miss that as the body of Christ, if we miss that as the church, if we get so highfalutin and we get so uppity that we have no desire to reach out and minister to those who are down and out like that, then we just need to close up the doors, not even build a new church. You know, I was, you know how the Salvation Army got started? William Booth. He had a church. Well, he was a part of a church. And this church, you know, they had a nice church, nice building. And he began to bring street people in. And the street people started coming in, and the people in the church decided that that's not who we want up in here. And they told Booth that they weren't going to let him in anymore. And that's when he went out and he started the Salvation Army for people who God loved, that church folk would not let in. You know, and I just think, sometimes, you know, as a church, you know, we have to understand that we're going to be put out there. The other day, Deacon Boston. He came in the church. The door was locked, and God came out to let him in. As soon as I opened the door, Pastor Glaze, I watch you on TV. I listen to you on the radio. Can you let me have $5? You know, man, that's the world. Those are the folk that God loves. The incredibility of the love of God. Then we see the imputation of his love, that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son to die for sinners, thereby the son taking their sin and giving them his righteousness. Then I put Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. And it's by grace that you are saved. Somebody put it like this. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We know that verse right there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then look at verse 21. It said, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. It's talking about Christ. That he knew no sin. He lived on this earth 30-some years, and not did he sin one time, did he sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That Christ, what an exchange. What an exchange. Christ took our sin on him and gave us his righteousness. Somebody said that there are two books. So they put it like this. One book is Christ's book. You want to read Christ's book? You want to read about the life of Christ? You pick up this Bible, and from Genesis to Revelation, it tells you about the life of Christ. You want to be more specific about the life of Christ? Then read the Gospels. And in the Gospels, you see how he was tender and how he was loving and how that he showed people mercy and grace, and how that he lived this perfect life and never sinned. This baby, Mary's baby boy, never sinned. And that's his story. And you take that story and you wrap his cover around it. And that's the book of Christ. Holy, perfect life with his cover wrapped on it. Take your story. Take your story. Where have you been? What have you done? What things have you done that if somebody else knew about it, you would be absolutely freaked out and embarrassed? What low down? Now, I know some of y'all been in the church all your life, so I'm not. If this don't refer to you, then you don't have to take it in any kind of way. But there are some in here that haven't been. And just think about if you wrote the biography of your life. Now, if you wrote it, it would be all good things, right? But if you're honest, write the biography of your life. There's going to be some things in there that you're going to be embarrassed by. And then you take that biography of your life, every deed that you've ever committed, and you put your cover on it. And now you've got two books. You got this holy book over here with Jesus' cover on it. And you've got your book over here that's unholy with your cover on it. So what does God do? When Christ died on the cross. What God did was he took the cover off of Christ's book and he put it on my book. He took the cover off of my book and he put it on Christ's book. So when God looks at me now, woo! What does he see? He sees the cover of Jesus Christ. He sees me with all my mess and all my filth and all my garbage, but he sees that I've been covered by the righteousness of Christ. That the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to me. What an exchange. What an exchange. And you know what? I just got finished. That whole illustration is a big theological term. And you know what that big theological term is? Imputation. Go get your theology book. Look up imputation. And they'll go through 50 pages to explain to you what I just gave you just now. Seminary education. Imputation. And that is where we receive the righteousness of Christ and he takes our sin. You don't get a better deal than that. The imputation. And then we see the impartiality. The impartiality. And what is that? That whosoever believeth. God loves all people and does not favor one person over another. God loves all people. I like the song that the kids sing. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. And we all been a child at one time. Red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God does not look at one race or one group of people and love them any more than he does another race or group of people. You know, you think about, and I know some of y'all are not going to like what I'm getting ready to say now, but you think about that couple out there in San Bernardino that went into that that building and killed and wounded all those people. As heinous as that was, as vile and as wicked as that was, God loved that couple. God loved it. And you see, the mere fact that you're sitting there right now and that you can't understand what I just said or you can't receive what I just said, that shows that the love of God is incredible. Incredible. You're going to say, well, how can, let me tell you about David, who, first of all, was slothful, was laying up in the bed at a time when kings should have been out to war. Got up about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, saw a lady taking a bath, and sent his messengers to tell them to come over and tell the lady to come over. Now, I heard a lady say this. And I didn't think about it until I heard her say it. David raped Bathsheba. He raped Bathsheba. And I never thought about that until she said it. He raped her. He found out that she got pregnant. And her husband, now this guy was one of David's mighty men, Uriah. This was one of David's main men. You know, back in the day, he would have been David's dog. What up, dog? You know, he was right there with him. He was out there fighting for David. David got his wife pregnant. He sent message for Uriah to come back, and he tried to get Uriah to go sleep with his wife so that everybody would think that it was Uriah's child. Uriah said, I can't do that. How can I go be at home with my wife when all the armies of Israel are out there fighting? That didn't work. So what the next thing? See, one sin leads to another sin. David got the man drunk, hoping that he would go sleep with his wife. He still didn't go. So David sends the man back to the army, to the battle, with his own death warrant. He put a message and sent it back. And you know, this guy was so faithful that he didn't even open it. You know, I don't know what David told him. Maybe David said, now don't open this until you get back to the front line. He didn't open it because David told him not to open it. He went back to the front line, gave the message to the general, and what the message said was, in the heat of the battle, tell the rest of the troops to draw back and leave him out front. And he got killed. A sloth, a rapist, got somebody drunk and killed somebody. How in the world can somebody like that get into heaven? Yet and still, we read that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. We read that David was a man after God's own heart. We read that when David got right, that he never lost his salvation. He never lost his salvation. In Psalm 51, what did he pray? Restore unto me what? The joy of my salvation. You see what I'm saying? The love of God. You can't comprehend God's love. How much God loves you. I've said it before. You look at other religions, a lot of them. Where does it tell them that God loves them? Where does it tell them that their God loves them? Where in it does it say that you have a God who loves you so much that he would send his son to die on the cross for your sin? I've said it before, the previous 2 weeks. I'm going to say it again. Somebody said, you Christians hate your God so much that you killed him. And I say, no. Our God loved us so much that he died for us. That he died for us. The impartiality of the love of God. And then, finally, we see the invincibility. Woo! The invincibility. That they what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is indestructible. Those who are recipients of it will never be separated from him. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That we will spend eternity with God. We will spend eternity in God's presence, rejoicing and praising him. Now somebody said, now, is that all we're going to do? No, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, man, it's unbelievable what we're going to do in heaven. I wish I had time to get into it. I wrote a book on heaven and all the stuff that we're going to do in heaven. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There was an atheist, and he was an essayist. His name was Christopher Hitchens. Now, not only was this guy an atheist, but he was anti-atheist in the fact that, you know, he didn't even believe that it was you should even waste time talking about the fact that there's not a God. He was anti-religion. And this is what he did. He compared life to a party. And he said, life is a party. And we all have a good time. And we all enjoy ourselves. And then one day, death is going to tap you on the shoulder. And when you look over your shoulder, death is going to say, the party's over for you. Now, the party is not over, but it's over for you. And it's time for you to die and become extinct. But if we follow that same analogy, as a Christian, life is a party down here, right? And when death taps us on the shoulder and takes us out of here, we go to another party. We go to a party that will never end. We go to a party that will last for all eternity. The invisibility of God's love. God loves us so much that he wants us to be with him forever. And as we think about Christmas, John 3:16, that's the verse. That's the verse for Christmas. For God, he took the initiation. So loved. He loved us with a love that we can't even measure. The world, the incredibility of it, that he would love vile and wretched sinners. The imputation that he gave his son for us. What an exchange. The impartiality that whosoever, he's no respecter of race, religion, creed. The invincibility that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I just feel so inadequate standing up here today trying to preach about your love. It's just, I know I haven't done it justice. I know I haven't done it justice. But Lord, I just pray that some way that I was able to present your love in a way that we could at least begin to think about it. In a way that we could at least know that it's there. And then, Lord, in order for us to explore the depths of it, that's something that I can't do for somebody that's sitting here today. Lord, only they can go and explore the depths of your love. Lord, it's a love that when we run out of resources, that it provides additional resources. Lord, it's a love that whenever all the rest of the world turns us down, it's a love that takes us in. It's a love that when people criticize and when people put us down and people walk away, it's a love that picks us up. It's a love that when the world knocks us down, it's a love that picks us up. It's a love that whenever we are called anything and everything under the sun but a child of God, it's a love that picks us up. It's a love that when we were sinking deep in sin, that reached down through the recesses of eternity, grabbed a hold of our hand as we were underneath the water of sin with one hand sticking up. It's a love that pulled us up out of the muck and mire and set us on a solid rock to stay. It's a love that when we started out holding God's hand and God holding our hand, and somewhere along the journey we got weak and we let go, it's a love that held on to us. It's a love that said, oh love, that will not let me go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this great love that you have given us. And Lord, there's a whole lot of things that I might not know. There's a whole lot of things that the congregation might not know. But Lord, I hope that one thing we all understand this morning is that you love us. That you love us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more? What more can our God give? Oh, how he loves you and me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Lord is Singing. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Lord Loves Us, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord Loves Us. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord Loves Us, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.